We are joined today by Max Rameau, a Haitian-born Pan-African theorist, campaign strategist, organizer, one of the founders of Take Back the Land, author also of the book Take Back the Land, talking about the liberation of land and reclaiming. Thank you so much for being with us today, Max.
Thank you.
Now, you have recently written, along with Natfa Freeman, Community Control versus Defunding the Police, a Critical Analysis. Right now, the call abolish the police has quickly turned into defund the police. And as activists are pushing local districts to do that, including here in Portland, there is some question about whether that kind of gradual incremental decrease in funding will actually lead to the systemic change that people are hoping to achieve. I think you addressed that some in your article, and I wonder if we can start by talking about how defunding may not necessarily lead to abolition.
Yeah, so I think that right now the social function, really not just now, but the social function of police is to protect property and really wealth, to protect money and to maintain the social order that allows a small number of people to hoard huge amounts of money. That's really the social function of the police. I think the theory behind the defund movement, which I think, by the way, is incredibly visionary, that people are trying to imagine a society without this force there, and I think it's an important development in terms of the way social transformation happens. But I think the theory behind that is that police are right now funded by public dollars. If they're defunded, then that force dissolves and is abolished in that sense. However, if those who now have money are intent on keeping their money, then it just means, I think, that they're going to replace this public force with their own private security force. And we've seen this in places all around the world, but even in modern Western societies like South Africa and even in growing parts of the United States, we see these private security forces that are not ostensibly enforcing the law, the public good law, but they are enforcing whatever their employers want them to do. I think that is the likely outcome of defunding, is a proliferation and explosion in private security forces.
Do you see another way forward? Could it be combining the defunding of police with the mass taxation of the wealthiest, say at a 90% rate, in order to create a redistribution of wealth?
So that could, in theory, redistribute some wealth, but that's not all that we're trying to do. It wouldn't, and the biggest problem, particularly for Black communities and oppressed communities, is that it wouldn't change the fundamental power relationship between our communities and the police. And that's what we actually need change, is the power relationship. And my organization, Pan-African Community Action, we take the position that Black communities in the United States are a domestic colony in the U.S., and the police behave like a occupying army in our communities. Well, even if we were to take some money away from the police and tax the wealthy, that wouldn't change that relationship with the police. Even if we were to increase taxes on the wealthy and defund police, it doesn't mean that George Floyd would not have been murdered the way that he was, because his relationship to the police would still have been exactly the same as it is right now, even if there would have been fewer police, and even if some of the ultra-wealthy would have some of their money taken from taxation. So what we really want to change is the fundamental power relationship between police and our communities, not just the amount of money that the police have or the amount of money that wealthy have, even though we do want to change those things as well.
And maybe you can explain how that works. You've been developing the Pan-African Community Action following the murder of Alonzo Smith by Washington, D.C. Special Police in 2015. What does that movement look like, and what does it envision as far as a shift in power dynamics?
So what we're proposing is that the overarching demand or objective for this time should be community control over police. We should have community control, local communities who should have direct control over their police. If you think about democratic bodies in this society, the least democratic structure in this society is the one where its members get to carry guns and arrest the members of the general public. That's the least democratic part of the society, institution in the society, the governmental institution. We think that this is the institution that should be the most democratic, and therefore we should have these local community boards that then control the local police. So what we're proposing is a ballot initiatives throughout the country where cities would be divided into policing districts, and those districts can overlap significantly or even exactly, wards or commission districts or council districts, whatever you call them, in your city. And then each district gets to vote on its own whether they want to keep their existing police force or whether they want a community-controlled force. And what I imagine is that some districts inside of a city would say, we like our police force, we want to keep them. Great, you keep them. And then other districts would say, we think the police act like an occupying army. We don't want them here. We want our own force that we control. And those communities should have the right to do that. So just like single-member districts, whatever someone votes for in District 1 has no impact on what someone votes for in District 5, and some communities would get their own police run by an entirely civilian board comprised of individuals who live in that community.
Well, that sounds really different from what is being talked about as community control of the police here in Portland and in other places, which is the Citizen Review Committee that comes in and makes recommendations based on complaints about the existing police force. How can that, what we have and what people perceive of as community control of the police, be transformed into what you're talking about? You said ballot initiatives, but I think part of it is also just the impression of what does community control of the police actually mean?
Yeah, and I think in this society, we don't really have a very well-developed concept of what power actually is. Reviewing the power of someone else is not having power. It's having the ability to review, and I don't want to review what the people who I pay to walk around with guns in my neighborhood do. I want to be able to tell them what to do, and if they don't do it, then I want to stop giving them my money, and that would then be power. So what we don't want review over the police. We want power over the police. When the elected officials in the city, the council members or the alderpersons sit and they make decisions about the budget, they don't review what happens with the budget. They actually vote, and their vote means something as to what happens to the budget. We want the same thing to be collectivized, the same power to be collectivized in our neighborhoods, where we have power and control over the police, not the ability to review whatever it is that they do. We need to be able to hire them. We need to be able to fire them. We need to tell them what their priorities are and tell them what the policies are. And if they follow those and they get a paycheck, and if they don't, then we find someone else.
And what would such a police force look like? Would it be armed and militarized like the one now that we see all across the country?
So this is the great thing about it. Because it's community controlled, then each community would get to make that decision for themselves. And as we have done in Washington, D.C., where Pan-African Community Action is based, when we've done these visioning projects with members of our community, we bring them in and we say, what does public safety look like to you? Very few people mention guns. So what we imagine and what we've actually workshopped out is that if we had a force that we controlled, the majority of the members of that force would not carry guns because that doesn't impress members of our community. It bothers some members of our community, and most of the interactions that happen don't require them. So most of them wouldn't have guns. They would have cars, or they would be able to pick people up, picking up elderly people who are waiting on a bus during the winter. Apparently, is a very big safety issue for members of our community, and all kinds of other things. The other thing that would look different, I think, is right now the priorities of the police in downtown areas is that if there's a person who's homeless and has nowhere to go to the bathroom and then attempts to urinate on a building, the priority or the job of the police is to protect the building from the human urine. And when we've had these workshops with members of our communities, they say, we want an intervention at that point, but we want to protect the person. We need to figure out why that person doesn't have a place to stay, why that person doesn't have a place to go to the bathroom. So if these decisions were centered in our communities, the way that would look different is that what we now call police would intervene when a person who's experiencing homelessness was using the bathroom outside, but they would intervene in order to help the homeless person. They would not intervene in order to help the building. And so that's why I would say that when we have community control and the communities are able to reimagine what safety looks like for them, we might have to rename the institution because it would look so wildly different than it does now. It probably wouldn't make sense to call that force police.
I was just thinking about that, given the history of police and what they've meant to Black and brown communities in the U.S., just calling them police, I think, may be part of the problem if they have actually a different function in what you're envisioning.
Right. Certainly in terms of the different function, for us, the name is not the biggest problem, although the name invokes the history. But the real switching the name without switching the function, in other words, if we change the name but we didn't change the power relationship between our communities and the police, would also not be acceptable. We don't want the Flower Brigade, who still controls and contains and hunts down and beats and kills people in our community.
Well, and right now, a lot of city councils, including here in Portland, are having these discussions. We had hundreds of people testify to call for cutting funding to the police in the last couple of days in the budget hearing in our city. And I wonder, I know a lot of people would agree that what we need is something different, is a different idea and a different approach to public safety, but can't really transform that into what we have in the city government right now into a demand. Right now, the main call is to cut funding by $50 million. What would be your recommendation to the people who really do want to see a transformation of this institution but don't really know what to ask for or how to do it in the city government?
We should be demanding power and control. We should be demanding power over and control over police departments. To me, in some ways, their budget is irrelevant. The real question is who controls what they do with that money? If we controlled them and they did things that we liked and did things that we supported and did things that we said we wanted done in our communities, no one would be asking to cut their budget. We'd be asking to improve their budgets. The real problem is that we don't control them and they're doing things that we don't want them to do. And so the natural reaction, this is a normal and very healthy reaction, to say, well, we want to cut funding for them. But a ideological and political reaction is to say, we want control over that entity so we change their function in society, we change their behavior because they're responsible to us. We should be fighting for power, not for incremental or even significant budget shifts, which doesn't address the underlying question of the relationship between police and most people in this society. Because for most people in this society, the job of the police is to protect those who are wealthy, to protect the wealth of those who are wealthy and those wealthy people. And most people in this society are not wealthy. We need to change the underlying power dynamics, not the marginal tax rate, not the annual budget.
And are there examples of what you're talking about anywhere in the world?
There are. There are in informal ways, anywhere where you see where there's not a police state, where there is not a fully functional, fully formed, and fully funded police department, people get together and they form their own ways of dealing with harm, and they figure out ways of dealing with their own security issues, as well as with their own collective safety. And so, anywhere where you see an underfunded or completely unfunded police department, you see some form of community control. And because that form of community control doesn't always take the shape of a uniform police department, then we tend to think of it as different. But that really is then what things look like when there's no police who are defending wealth, and instead there are people who are just trying to figure out how to live healthy, happy, and safe lives.
So then maybe at a local level, defunding the police could be considered a first step towards community control.
I think that only the limitation there, I think the imagination of thinking about a local area with no police is extremely important. But the practical reality is that if you were to entirely defund the police in Portland, it'd be no time at all before Walmart brings its own private security firm in. And there'd be no time at all before some of the wealthier enclaves in or mainly around Portland would then put up these gates and walls and be patrolled by private security forces. And we would have less control. We'd have, be able to less, have less influence over those departments than we do now. If all we're doing is starving the resources from a resource-rich community, they're just going to move the resources somewhere else and replicate the exact same behavior. What we really need to do is to shift power. Just removing the existing manifestation of power is not going to end it. It's just going to change form. It's just going to evolve into something else. We really need to shift power at this point.
Is there anywhere that people can go to find out more about these ideas and maybe develop a plan to make these demands?
Yes, if you go to there's two sites that you can go to. One is Pan-African Community Action's website. That's pacapower.org, pacapower.org. And if you look under our position papers, you can see two position papers on community control over police, and as well as one which is the critique, the long version critique of the calls to defund the police. And you can also find out about on the same website about our local campaign for community control over police. And then the other one is the National Alliance Against Racial and Political Repression, and that website is NAARPR.org. And that is a national coalition of organizations who are fighting for community control over police. And you can, of course, just go to a search engine and look for community control over police.
Well, I really want to thank you for this perspective. Again, I've been speaking with Max Rameau. He is one of the founders of Take Back the Land and a part of Pan-African Community Action. Those websites, again, are pacapower.org, P-A-C-A power.org, and NAARPR.org, the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. Thank you, Max, for joining us on KBOO today.
Thank you so much.
This is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KBOO News.